Okay. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1 again. Sometimes when I go to teach Sunday school for the month, I have a thought that is the same thing all the way through, and you can just exhaust it. You got 4, maybe 5 weeks sometimes. Seems like the 5-weekers always hit Gary. But sometimes there's a subject that you have, and you can just stay on that one topic, and it's just a bottomless well of stuff on that one thing. And then there's other months where we approach it, and I've got, you know, thoughts about all kinds of different stuff. But it's fascinating to me how if you ask the Lord to help you and let Him be the one that is the source of what your intention, okay? Wanting to be a help and not just be noise up here to fill an hour because we're here. Then He will just stitch it all together, and it just makes so much sense when you see it just unfold out of one, you know, one thought you might have had. And that's this morning. I'm kind of, you know, we've been pretty busy this week and been out of pocket a couple, 3 days this week, and the funerals and the so much to overwhelm your mind with, you know, it's hard to, I'll just be honest. It's hard to keep your mind on this, especially if you have to bring some kind of a lesson or a sermon or anything like that. It's made me think a lot about, you know, you in the sense of doing it for years and years, and every other preacher that's done it for 30 or 40 years, where they have to 3 times a week, sometimes more, get up here and have something new, something helpful, something that don't put everybody to sleep. And, you know, it's a big task. And, you know, this is good for us to have to do this, because it makes us, you know, have to prioritize our thoughts and keep this in our minds. But boy, the noise of the world sure is loud, ain't it? And the things that cumber us down and just take over our mind, it's like they commandeer our life and our mind and our thoughts and our intentions and our actions. And you even dream about that stuff at night. You ever thought about that? You know, wake up and you've worked all night long dreaming about something, and it's like, what in the world? Where's my mind at? You know? Yeah, we're going to be in Proverbs 1 this morning, and I'm going to read a few verses at the beginning of the chapter, and I'm going to read the last part of the chapter. But, you know, it's something that's always bothered me greatly is to see somebody be willfully ignorant about something, anything, no matter what it is, whether it's something spiritual, which there's a lot of that, but my goodness, it's one is cause and effect of the other. It's like they propagate each other, this idea of being willfully ignorant about anything, whether it's spiritual or earthly things. It drives me nuts. I've always been more of kind of a methodical, like a logical thinker, you know, binary, black and white, on or off. It's, you know, this is how you do it and this is how you don't do it. So everything, that's how I think. And there's been things that I've had to learn the hard way from being hard-headed and rebellious. But overall, even how I learn how to perform a new task at work or, you know, perform something new, even at my age where you can learn how to do new things. It's not impossible. An old dog can learn new tricks. Mm-hmm. It's just about the attitude of your heart when it comes to learning. Mm-hmm. Yep. But to see someone on purpose choose the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the truth. Here's the facts. Here's the facts from God's word. Here's the facts from just life in general, just the laws of nature and life. And they look at it and say, no, I choose not to believe that. How did Pelosi say it here a while back? I reject your truth. Mm-hmm. No, she rejected the truth. Truth isn't superlative in the sense of like it's mine or it's yours. You don't possess the truth. The truth possesses you. You're possessed by the truth. And I say that because it makes you do what you do. Whether it's the devil's truth, okay? The devil's deception of what you enact into reality, or God's truth that guides you in all the paths of life. People, and we that sit in church for all of our life, are real quick to compartmentalize and be looking out the window. You know, those people that choose to believe a lie, those people. And yet, when you examine your life, just, you know, on the whole, in general, when you examine your life, do you ever catch yourself doing the same thing? I mean, there's all kinds of different terminologies for this matter of being willfully ignorant. Some people call it stubborn or hard-headed or set in their ways or, you know, hard to get along with, bullheaded, strong-headed, you know, strong-willed. All these adjectives that's been put on this matter of being willfully ignorant. You know, you sit and talk to somebody about politics or the matter of abortion or the realities of human trafficking and modern-day slavery and pedophilia. Yeah. What about health? What about the doctor? What about, you know, the two-facedness and the double-tongedness of the entire society that's around us about what's going on with COVID-19 and all of this? You know, we went to the chiropractor the other day and him and I were talking, and that's what he said. He said, I hadn't seen him in quite some time, and he always wants to talk about, you know, current events and the Lord, because he's a Christian, and he, you know, he's one of those people that it's hard for him because of the position he's in, the job that he's in, and all the different strokes of life that he has to touch every day, for him to keep a muzzle on it sometimes, you know. But when he doesn't have to, well, he don't. You know, that's why he talks my ear off when we're there. But, you know, he was saying, what in the world do y'all think about all this going on? You know, ain't it crazy how everybody's got their own idea about what's going on? There's so many choices of what to believe. He said that what I'm seeing, even in my practice here with the hundreds of people that come through here in a week, is that it doesn't matter about the truth, whether it's true or whether it's false, the information that people have. Nobody really knows what's right, what's the truth, and what isn't. So they're just grabbing on to something, and they're just going to hold on to that no matter what, all the way through, about this matter of the virus. Right. And they won't let go of their feelings about it, no matter what kind of evidence they're presented with, no matter how many times the powers that be or the people making the decisions welch on what they said 2 days ago, you know, the new rules or this mandatory vaccine that they're trying to push on society and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter what they say about or how they change their mind about it. They grab a hold of one thing that they're going to believe about it, and then they won't let go of it, no matter what. And he said it isn't because they've made an informed decision. He said it's literally the definition of an uninformed decision. But you need to understand something. He said their pride is involved in that decision making. So when it comes to being faced with a fact that says the truth you've claimed to be the truth is proven false by this evidence, their pride won't let them turn it loose. It isn't that they're just scared and they're holding on out of fear and desperation to this thing they think might be true. No. Facts and truth don't work that way. You know, when you're presented, when you believe something and then you're presented, anybody in here that has ever been born again was presented with some truth at some point that made you realize you were wrong about what you'd always believed. Enough to where you made the choice to say, I'm going to abandon what I've always considered to be the truth and understand that it's a lie. Now I'm going to cling to this truth and live my life by it. Well, what did you have to lay down in order to do that? Your pride. Kind of goes with what we talked about this month, about a heart of rebellion and a heart full of pride. If you're living, if that's what's directing and guiding and steering the boat of your life, then what we talked about last week about your purpose or reasons, one versus the other, it's what's going to determine what that is. And now this week we're talking about this matter of wisdom and understanding. And I've talked about this before, but I'm you know, this is just a different way to look at it, and just some more thoughts on it. And I just can't, you just can't skip over it. All right, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here's the purpose of this book: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You know, this past week, most of y'all know, but we went away for a couple days to this deal. This is just a cabin out in the woods, not too far from where we live. And it was a deal I worked out with a guy over some work I did or whatever, but it was kind of one of them things that, I don't know, I was looking forward to, but it come at the wrong time, so it was kind of overwhelming to add on to all the other things we got going on and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it was already planned and it was booked, and so let's do it. Let's just go do it. And we went out there, and, you know, it's amazing to me how no farther, we were 8 miles from Sam A. Baker State Park, between Sam A. and Des Arc, down by St. Francis River. But there was no internet. There was no Wi-Fi. There was a television, but there wasn't any cable. We didn't hear. We heard an airplane 2 times. Other than that, we didn't even hear the noise of a motor. Nothing. At night, it was so dark, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was that dark. And I'm amazed.
Yeah.
At how loud our life is. You know, that's just simple, you know, earthly things, but the way that we understand stuff, the way that we learn, the things that influence our wisdom and understanding and our knowledge come from all the noise that's in our life. And I'm not talking about the noise of a car going by. I'm talking about the things that we allow in our life. We didn't have our phones other than to take pictures with for 2 days. 2.5 days, I guess. So I didn't get a single message. I didn't get an email or a text. I didn't get a phone call. Nobody interrupted my day to pull in the driveway and talk to me about this or that or the other. I didn't have Facebook or Instagram or the news. Remember, that's what I joked around with her. I told her, I said, we may be down here for 2.5 days and leave, and the whole world's burned to the ground, and we didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. And we were only that close to the house. And how would we not know, just being that close to the house? But how did we not know? Well, because of the thing that that makes all the noise in our life. The thing that's influencing, it's not just noise like the car is going by. It's the voice that's influencing what we know, yeah, and our, yeah, truth, if you want to call it that. The truth about everything. About the virus. About politics. About the election. About the post office. About the wildfires. About God. Because there's a lot of that in there too. And so, you know, I started thinking about just how much of that noise influences my truth. You understand what I'm saying? My willful obedience or rejection of God's truth. Because we all sit in church and we like to think that we're not influenced by that. We have the truth. And it's like we feel insulated against the threat of believing a lie. When you think about how many hours, how many of y'all in here get a report every week of how much screen time that you've had on your phone? All the Apple users raised their hand. And then you think about how many hours a week we spend in here, actually listening to a sermon or the Word of God be preached. Or how many hours a week do you spend studying God's word. Or trying to, if nothing else, pour something into your mind that is godly. Mm-hmm. Or that is, you know, edifying to your spirit and encouraging to you to live for God and to stand against the world and to recognize lies when you see them based on the truth of God's word. You know, I dare say that our screen time far outweighs our time spent doing those things.
Yeah.
So, by definition, the noise that we're allowing in our life, the voices that's speaking to us, the louder ones, the ones that are the majority of what we hear, is the junk that comes from the world. Mm-hmm. And once again, you know, I've said this over and over and over, and I say it all the time, but until you and I, or anyone, will approach this matter of truth and understanding, right and wrong, heaven or hell, saved or lost, with an honest heart, it's just the motions you're going through.
Yeah.
If you won't be honest with yourself, and not based on your truth, I'm talking about based on God's truth, honest about your own self in the light of God's truth, mm-hmm. then there'll never be any correction or salvation or sanctification or purification or the ability to be a blessing and an edification to anyone else. We're just a sponge soaking it up, and it's just like, it's like a black hole. It just comes into us and disappears. And there's no evidence that it ever even was there, because we're living a double standard. We're living by a set of rules that we inadvertently are letting into our mind constantly, whilst at the same time convincing ourselves that we're living our life by what goes on in here 3 days a week. 3 meetings a week. And most churches, that's where everybody's at. You got to understand. I mean, look around and tell me I'm wrong. That's where everybody's at. They love the idea of being right. Well, who wouldn't? Most people, I've known people who, I was this person for so very long, where the truth of God's word was something I wanted to know about, but it wasn't so that it would make me a better person. It's so I could shut up people's mouths, the ones I consider to be hypocritical. I could humiliate them with their own law. The Apostle Paul used to do the same thing when he was Saul. But that's why when God changed his life, and even his very name, the whole purpose of his life changed. And his attitude towards what was right and wrong, the voices that was influencing him, that then by that dictated what he did with his life, all of it changed. Mm-hmm. And it won't be no different with us if that's what's going on. If it's not that way, there's too much noise in our life. The world's idea of individualism has defiled God's plan for people to receive wisdom and instruction. You're not born wise. Or informed, even. You're not born that way. You know? Once again, individualism, this idea of every person's their own little island and their own beautiful creation of God. And, you know, it's humanism, people. You need to recognize the devil's lies for what it is.
Yeah.
God did create us all in His likeness and in His image. He did die for every one of us. He did provide a way for us to be reconciled unto Him. But He also said that death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just because you are born and raised in a church that preaches the truth does not exempt you from that.
Right.
Matter of fact, your chances of missing it completely go up because of that. I hate to say that, but in the day that we live in, and as strong as the deception is on this world now, that's how it is. We were talking about Brother Parker and how that he, you know, was saved when he was 9 years old. And that through his life, you know, when he was 16, he surrendered to preach. And then he went on to be a preacher and a pastor till the day he died. Mm-hmm. And how could a kid at 9 years old have thoughts of eternity and have thoughts, like deeper thoughts about, you know, where he fit into the picture of God's plan and what God wanted him to do with his life and the purpose God had for him? Well, it's funny, it kind of dawned on me where we were at out there this past week was right out there in the kind of the stomping grounds where he was born and raised. And being that far off the beaten path and disconnected from everything and the overwhelming silence that we experienced, it just, it dawned on me that, hey, you know, children could be born again.
Yes.
And could live their life and grow up and not stray and not go sow their wild oats and not go and ruin their life and defile themselves whilst still holding on to a childhood profession and then come back later on and try to give God back the broken pieces and then try to do something with it. They could. They could live and serve God. Why? There wasn't no noise. The only influences that was on their life was like what he talks about, his mother that encouraged him in the Lord and instructed him in the ways of the Lord.
Yes.
Instead of them carrying around a phone from the time they can walk.
Yeah.
And that being the noise and YouTube and Instagram and TikTok and all this other garbage that the world has to throw at them. Yeah. And influence the way that they learn.
Yes.
He was taught how to learn. He was taught how to learn.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit and explain calculus to a six-year-old and you're dumping knowledge upon them. But they have no understanding of what you're saying. And they will not retain any of the wisdom you've given them.
Right.
Because they haven't been taught how to learn that yet. You don't start with trigonometry. You start with learning how to count your numbers. Mm-hmm. And then learning how to add them and subtract them.
Right.
Then you learn how to multiply them and divide them. And then fractions come along. And then decimals, which are fractions. And then you see the progression of how you teach them to learn, so that their understanding is bigger. So when it comes to these complicated math problems, they have the foundations of learning, and then they can understand. You know, math, the stars, even music. We've talked about how that it's all, what do they call it? It's like a divine rhythm to it. You understand? It's like you can see the designer that designed and created all of them because of the precision that's involved in every one of them, and then they all overlap. You know? There's a way God laid out for us to learn.
Yes.
Okay? And we're instructed to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Nurture is what you do to a plant. When you plant a seed and that tender little shoot comes up, you don't go out there and start pouring harsh chemicals on it to keep the bugs away. No, you build a protector around that thing so that the bugs can't get to it. You don't go out there with a young colt and take a buggy whip and beat the daylights out of him because he won't stand still. No, you ruin him just like that.
Yes.
Horse ruined for life.
Yes.
You have to teach that horse how to learn from you. And it takes gentleness, and it takes a tender touch, and it takes some understanding and wisdom on your part, not just empty knowledge about how to go about it. And the devil is so slick about how he systematically, over the last generations, you know, from about the 40s on, how he's just systematically eliminated these parts of how God gave us all this and how to do it. He's eliminated certain parts of it generationally. One generation eliminates one. The next generation eliminates two or three. The next generation eliminates a whole bunch of them, to the point now where we have a godless society.
Yes.
Most of the kids that you see riding up down the road out here literally could not sing "Jesus Loves Me" to you.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've never been to church in their life.
Right.
They don't know what John 3:16 even says. They don't know who Jesus is. And yet we live and come to our church every week, and we have this mentality that everybody has this baseline knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what righteousness is and what sin is.
Right.
To the point where we raise our own children in our church assuming that they understand how to learn about Jesus. And they don't. Because they're all born into the same sinful world. And the noise that we allow into their life influences the way they learn more than the noise that he makes standing up here preaching or that they make in Sunday school.
Right.
And we have become willfully ignorant of that fact. And then our kids grow up and they go astray and we don't understand why. But we're the reason why. The noise we allowed in their life that taught them how to learn. The other people that we allowed into their life and into their little minds and hearts at the most vulnerable times taught them how to learn the devil's way. Taught them how to learn the world's way.
Yep.
So you ask yourself, because see, once again, looking out the window mentality, the church window, those people out there. Their kids go off to a secular school, and in less than a year, they're supporting Black Lives Matter, the fascistic, communistic mentality of that organization. They support Roe versus Wade. They support defunding the police. They support the destruction of the nuclear family, the order that God created for a family, husband, wife, children, home. They're against it. Why? Well, they were poisoned by... No, you need to understand something. They were never taught how to learn. Mm-hmm. Even in the school they went to, I don't care if they went to church. Nobody teaches their kids how to learn anymore. They just dump knowledge on them and assume that they have the faculties to absorb it and assimilate it into their life and do it. And if they don't, you just beat the daylights out of them.
Yeah.
God doesn't do us that way.
No.
Not when we're having to learn how to learn. So then, they go off to school, and we think they've got a good foundation. But they have no foundation. The foundation we think they have is in our mind, not in their life. There's a void, there's a vacuum there. And the devil has his servants posted in every secular and Christian Bible college all over this country to take your child that you've not taught how to learn. You've just dumped all this information on him and you know, your faith is that God will somehow make it all work out. And if I can tell you names of people that I know that have done that, seen their kids crash and burn, go to the dogs, commit suicide, every other thing you can think of, and then they blame the church and they blame God. Because I did everything right. I did all the rules. I learned the dance. I did the steps, and it didn't work. And then they blame God and abandon him. They never taught their kid how to learn. So when they sent them off to some school somewhere, this vacuum that they created by not doing their job was rapidly filled with the wisdom of the world and the way to learn. And I want to read some things here. I've got a few more minutes. I'm doing okay on time. Points. I want to read verses 20 through 33, but I just want to go through it a little bit at a time. And just observe some things. Verse 20 says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying." So here's the deal. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is not a unicorn. It's not this inaccessible thing that we have to spend a lifetime trying to figure out how to what it is or how to give it to someone else. Wisdom is not hidden to those who are seeking it. It's in the street. It's out there running up down the street hollering. I mean, this is metaphoric of what wisdom is doing. You need to understand what this scripture is saying, okay? I've heard people preach this and say that, you know, down in verse 26, is, "I will also laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear cometh." They take that and say that that's God laughing at a sinner when they fail and destroy their lives. You know, how, what a misrepresentation of even who God is or his character. You know, this is trying to make you understand that the devil is going to try to blind your mind and your eyes and your heart to how easy wisdom is to get hold of if you'll do right, if you'll approach it God's way. That's his whole MO, is to make you blind, to blind you to the truth. And God's way of doing things. And God's saying right here, he's saying, "Wisdom crieth out without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" How long? Are you going to do this all your life?
Yeah.
You're going to sit in church and listen to preaching for 40 years and still love simplicity? Goodness. You're still going to scorn against the righteous? You're going to do that? Yeah, you will. If you don't recognize how you've learned how to learn, how you have understood the things there are to understand. And look, a little child, they are your ward to raise and give them all this stuff. But when they become adults like all of us sitting in this room, it's a different ballgame. You answer to God now. Whether you like it or not, you will answer to God someday. In the sense of accountability, you're accountable to Him. Like it or not. And so He's asking you, how long will you love simplicity? How long will scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? That tells me right there that they're willfully despisers of knowledge. They hate it. You don't hate something out of ignorance. You hate something because that's what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I see these people sometimes. We seen somebody yesterday, and it's some people we've known for a while, neighbors we used to have. And, you know, the guy, straight up meth head, ain't no hiding it. He thinks nobody knows, but, you know, all the signs. That's how most drug addicts are. They don't think anybody knows, but everybody knows but them. Got this girl, and she's with him. You know, I knew her years ago. She was a sweet, I thought, demure, quiet, you know, meek little girl. Winds up with a guy like him. Has a bunch of kids with him. And they just live like, I mean, I say this with brokenheartedness. They live like animals in a lot of ways. Raising their kids. I mean, and someone made the comment, how does a girl like that wind up with a fella like that? Why does she stay with him? What does she find so attractive about him? And it's just like I told Anna, I said, you need to understand something. As ugly as it is, and as much as you don't want to accept it. And from somebody like that, it's easier to go ahead and embrace this. What about you? What about your kids someday? What about, she's just like him. You need to understand that what's in his heart, it's what's in her heart too.
Right.
She doesn't stay, she hates knowledge. They delight in their scorning. They're the same kind of person. This, the evil that's in all of them, their wickedness just manifests itself in different ways in their life. Why does a girl stay with a guy who beats on her and breaks her bones and treats her like garbage? She lacks understanding. Somebody didn't teach her how to learn. She was taught how to learn the wrong way.
Right.
And now her understanding is all messed up. She has no wisdom or knowledge. And what she, the only thing that she believes in her heart is that that's the only thing she deserves. Because she's too stupid or worthless to deserve anything better than that. And they'll live their life that way. I know people, you know people, that are that way. And you think, what's so broken in their mind? It's this. That they never were taught how to learn.
Yeah.
So they learned the way that the devil has presented.
Yep.
Verse 23, turn ye at my reproof, says wisdom. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Just like there's a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of pride, there's a spirit of wisdom too. But they can't exist in the same person. If one's there, the other one won't be. And it runs both ways. If wisdom, the spirit of wisdom is poured out on someone who's not prideful, who's not rebellious, who will be taught, who will be willing to understand, even if it means they have to be reduced, which you will have to be reduced, especially if you've let this take root in your heart and in your life at all. You have to be reduced back to zero and relearn it all, or else you are pretending. You are basing your understanding on a fantasy if you only allow God to teach you in certain matters, and then you embrace your own understanding, your own wisdom. You seek out your sources of wisdom and understanding from the world. And then you try to mix them together to make this custom blend of understanding, knowledge, and wisdom that includes everything you think. See, that's the we was watching this thing the other night about back in the early 70s, like the late 60s, early 70s, the women's liberation movement that came along took a thing, okay, that where the women were being treated unfairly in workplaces and different things like that, and used that as this platform and the springboard to put forth women's rights, the liberation of women from the oppression of men. Well, if you look at that in its entirety, there were certain instances where women were being taken pretty bad advantage of by wicked men. Okay? But what they did was that they took a little bit of truth and mixed a whole bunch of bad in it, and all the women's liberation movement really accomplished was legalizing the murder of babies. That's what it did. And so you say, well, where in the world did that come from? Where? Well, go back up the creek. You hear me say it all the time. Go upstream. Find the next source. Well, go back to the end of World War II when they all come back from the war and a guy named Hugh Hefner started putting nudie magazines out all over the country. Changing the way men thought and learned and understood. And the perversion, the sexual perversion that happened in the hearts of men produced a society that oppressed women. Because they were godless, which then in turn bred rebellion in the hearts of a whole generation of women. Because God wasn't there. God wasn't there with the perverted men that corrupted God's way and then started oppressing the women, see? So it was a chain reaction and an undoing of God's order of things and a whole introduction of a whole new way to think, learn, understand, absorb, and then what to consider wisdom and understanding. So the women's liberation movement had their wisdom and their understanding. The men before them had their wisdom and understanding. Their children grew up, my generation, and the ones about 5 years before me, have grown up to be godless people, really. I mean, they entertained God in some of their, I mean, God was symbolic because there was patriotism mixed in with it. So you could be patriotic and love God and Jesus and baseball and apple pie and, you know, RC Colas or whatever it is, Coca-Cola. Yes. And they raised a whole generation of people who hate God. Yes. They are completely humanistic. Yes. God denying, God hating. They don't not believe in God. They hate Him. Yes. They defy Him. Yeah. And then, what is my generation? What is your generation going to raise? The end.
Right.
Verse 24 through 27. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. The truth that you had available. You seen it and said, I know that's the truth. But if I choose that, I'm going to change all of this about me. Nope, not doing it. There's other options. Going a different way. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, because that's what it ends in. When your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, that's how fast it comes. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. There's a certain person that we know who's lived their life this way. And now, after all the calamity of life, they want wisdom. They desire it. But they cannot find it. Even if you try to give it to them, they recognize it. But it's just like there's this shell built around them now and they can't absorb it. Because they never would do nothing about their pride and their rebellion. And that's still what's keeping the truth from getting into them. Even though in their heart, see, the thing is, there's laws that don't even have to do with God's truth, like righteousness. There's just laws of nature that once you pull the trigger and set them in motion, there's things that start to happen.
Yes.
You know, when you see someone, man or woman, that has lived their life or been forced to live their life by some godly principles up to a certain point, and then you see them start to change where they're getting their truth from. You might not know that's what they're doing, but you can look at their life and the evidence is there. They start having marriage problems. They start having problems with their children. They're impatient with everyone. They start having different opinions about even things at church. There's a coldness and a distance that starts being developed between them and everybody that represents anything that was ever given to them spiritually. And I'm telling you, it's the tells of someone's heart turning to the wisdom of the world. And don't tell me I'm wrong, because these things, it's just like, you know, when it gets to be late in the evening, the sun goes down, and when it goes down, then it gets dark because the sun's not there. There's nothing you can ever say that's going to change that fact. There's nothing you can ever do that's going to change the fact that when the sun goes down, it gets dark. And it's the same way in our lives. You know, when you abandon God's truth and the instruction and the instructors of God's truth in your life, which, by the way, are going to be there till the day you die in some form. You don't reach a certain point and then the instructors God's put in your life to give you understanding and to teach you the ways of God and to be an influence on you in the wisdom and understanding of God's ways are going to be gone now. And now it's just all you. That's what's happened to our society and our culture and our country. They eliminated God from the picture, and then just you go out there when they read this verse, you know, seek wisdom and understanding. Well, they just go out there and try to find something that they feel like is smarter than them. And then they're like, that's what I want. And then they pattern their whole life after that. And there's literally no understanding, no instruction about what they're even learning about or latching on to. It's like putting a 8-year-old kid in a semi truck and telling them to go to California in it. They're not going to be able to do it. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. That's another tell of someone who's following the world's wisdom. You cannot talk to them. You cannot reason with them. Reason's gone. That's why the term exists. They abandon all reason. They're living their real life based on fantasy. And they expect real life results from a fantasy mentality. And you can't reason. They're crazy. It's like they've lost their mind. They've lost touch with reality. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. There comes a point where you're not the victim of this influence anymore. You're the promoter and the propagator of it. Then you become the same person that did this to you, that influenced you. It's like you watched that about Jeffrey Epstein and all that junk that went on, and that devil of a man. And the girls that he did this to then in turn would go out and recruit other girls to come and they were a victim. And before it was over with, they were the ones that were propagating the very thing that happened to them. And that is exactly the way this works too. You stay that way long enough, and even though you can see it and recognize that's the truth, there it is. There it is. I remember that. You'll still, at the end of the day, try to pull as many with you the other way as you can because of your pride. Right. The last verse, and we're done because I'm out of time. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, that's wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I know people in my life, I know them, where they have literally lived their entire life in fear. They live their life in fear. They're scared of the dark. They're scared of the end of the world. They're scared of who's going to get elected. They're scared of COVID-19. They're scared of going anywhere for fear of getting hit on the road in a car. They're scared of the people in the store. They're scared of animals in the woods. They live their entire life in fear of evil. Now, I'm not saying that the wisdom and truth and understanding makes you completely impervious or naive to the evils and dangers that there are in the world. That's not what I'm saying. If you live and take heed to wisdom, God's wisdom. That he, because he said, if you ask for it, I'll give it to you. Okay? He'll bestow his spirit. The wisdom said, I'll put my spirit in you. The spirit of wisdom. Well, I'd like to have that. Mm-hmm. And if you have that, then fear is something you don't have to deal with. It's literally that noise in your life, that's quiet. No fear. Mm-hmm. Perfect love casteth out all fear. See? Amen. And it comes from the wisdom of God.